The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Everybody, it must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m., or it might be Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m., or on twice a week, to talk about your career, dissect the workforce, dissect the job market, dissect the economy. It takes a lot of work. That's why I've been doing it for 31 years. Six of them right here on linewsradio.com. And shout out to the wonderful management of this company that gives me this platform every week to talk about what we think is something extremely important, and that's the workplace of the United States and here on Long Island. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about manufacturing. We do talk about manufacturing two or three times a year. Why? Because it's one of those industries that are not enough people are going into. The same problem with IT. If you think about IT and engineering, you could put them all together. These are high-paying jobs. People think it's too difficult, or too unapproachable. Don't like the way it sounds or seems. And next thing you know, they're going back into journalism where there ain't no journalism left. So, people have to go into the career paths where there are jobs and careers. And manufacturing on Long Island is still vibrant. We've talked many times about Grumman 1,000 years ago leaving Long Island, creating a vacuum. Wasn't filled in by other aerospace companies, unfortunately, although Harris did very well. But basically, we have a good supply chain here on Long Island. We have good manufacturing facilities. And we've got, I think, Ron, you mentioned 3,000 manufacturers on Long Island.
Yeah, absolutely. There's 3,000 manufacturers, all kinds of different stripes. You know, there is a strong aerospace sector still here. Mm-hmm. You know, they're supporting Sikorsky, Boeing, Raytheon, some of the big guys. So, yeah. Aerospace is here, but it's not like it used to be. So, right. like you were saying earlier, you know, a lot of these other sectors have kind of picked up the gauntlet here.
Okay, so this show, we're celebrating the October 7th, 1922 National Manufacturing Day. It's going to be held at the Suffolk County. It's going to be held at the SEC's Field of House on the Brentwood campus. Held annually on the first day of October, with events that continue throughout the month. Manufacturing Day helps show the reality of modern manufacturing careers by encouraging thousands of companies and educational institutions around the nation to open their doors to students, parents, teachers, and community leaders. As manufacturers seek to fill 4.6 million high-skill, high-tech, and high-paying jobs over the next decade, Manufacturing Day empowers manufacturers to come together to address their collective challenges so they can help their communities and future generations thrive. With over 3,000 manufacturers employing over 70,000 people here on Long Island with high-paying jobs, and some don't need college degrees, Long Island manufacturing is the economic engine driving innovation and prosperity in the region. Ron Loveland is with us tonight. Now, he is a spokesman for this, nothing less than that. Ron has over 30 years of manufacturing, industrial engineering, change management, leadership, general management, and operations experience, including over 25 years of training and consulting accomplishments. As a West Point grad, former Army officer, engineer, and business owner, Ron brings a wealth of management, leadership, and change management experience to his clients. One of Ron's most high-profile positions was as a product line manager of Black Hawk helicopters at Sikorsky Aircraft. That must have been very, very cool.
That was a fun job, yeah?
Yeah, and the movie was great.
Yeah, right.
He currently runs a safety, quality, industrial engineering training and consulting firm, helping manufacturers and industrial clients cut costs, create safety culture, avoid OSHA and EPA fines, improve productivity, free up working capital, accelerate top-line growth, and thrive in the high-cost New York City area. But that's not all. If I wanted an expert, I have him. But that's not all. There's more. We also have with us Jamal Walcott, vice principal in charge of Longwood High School's Classroom to Careers program. He's enjoyed a career in public education since 2005. He was a social studies teacher for 13 years, spent 3 years as the academy liaison, and this is his fifth year as an assistant principal. Jamal orchestrated and enhanced 8 international student travel programs, comprised of 30-plus staff members and 280 students. He's currently nominated for the Coca-Cola National Teacher of the Year and Life Changer of the Year Awards. So, gentlemen, welcome to Radio Jobline.
Thank you.
Great to have you guys here. It's a pretty big problem. The fact that we need to guide students into high-paying careers, actually, right there, you can stop me right there, doesn't make any sense. Okay, there's so many students that are craving a career path that's going to be financially rewarding, very satisfying to do, local, right? They don't have to relocate to some other part of the country.
Correct.
And so on. So let's talk about how this all happened. I mean, why is there a shortage of workers in the manufacturing field?
That's a good point. And just let me make one little correction on the manufacturing day. We actually had to change the venue to the Cradle of Aviation, which is a great place for kids to come. So we're looking for parents, students, teachers, job seekers to come. And
I gave the wrong location anyway. I think I said Sullivan County Community College. So, right. so anyway, you go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
But, you know, the issue is that I think for the biggest problem that manufacturing has on Long Island is it's a publicity problem, right? Everybody thinks that manufacturing is the old greasy machine shop. Hey, I don't want my kid going in there. You know, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get, you know, greasy. They're not going to make any money. But they don't realize that nowadays, you know, modern manufacturing is clean. We just had a meeting today at Designtronics over in Hicksville. They have, you know, cobots, robots. They have automation. They, you know, it's a cool place to work. Absolutely.
So I think that's part of the problem. As Ron explains the excitement, so many of our students don't know that. And when you talk about preparing them, we have a ton of students that they go to school and they hear the push for college, college, college. If not that, there's always this understanding of, well, you have a military option. And then jobs become jobs, and they don't hear enough about careers. And careers that could be in manufacturing and careers that could be in manufacturing Long Island. So when Ron talks about a publicity problem, it's so evident that not enough students know about this. So we have a ton of students that either they're going to college with no direction toward what they really want to do and getting a lot of student loan debt to come out and say, I still don't know what I want to do, not knowing that this is a viable option, or students that just graduate and then say, you know, my first choice isn't looking for a career in manufacturing. My first choice is possibly, you know, working at a local convenience store or a local franchise in our area.
So it makes complete sense that you'd want your companies to open their doors and let the students see what's really happening. You know, first of all, let's not forget that every, you know, department that exists at non-manufacturing companies also exists at accounting, finance, right? All the various public relations, sales, marketing. So the same jobs that are at other companies, but manufacturing offers much more than that. You know, these are technical jobs and jobs that probably use much more automation than people realize. You know, they're thinking of of the old conveyor belt type thing where Lucille Ball, right?
Lucy,
and it kept falling off, right? So that's what people think of, and that didn't help any. That segment didn't help the manufacturer sector.
That is true.
And so the idea is to show them and let them touch it with their own hands and see. But what is it? What are we showing them? What are they touching?
So when they go in, you know, we just had a couple of high school interns that came out of West Islip High School. And West Islip High School has a really cool setup. They have a machine shop in their high school, which is the only one I've seen on Long Island. But anyways, a lot of these kids, you know, they go to the robotics club, right? And they said, oh, that's cool stuff. I want to go see how that works. Well, you know, you go into a place like Designtronics and you say, hey, I see robotics actually doing things. It's helping, you know, the operator to lift a heavy piece of metal to put it in the CNC machine. They see them programmed in the CNC machine. They see things being designed, and then, wow, I actually made this after I designed it. So so that's the thing I think that really excites the kids. They can say, they can see the, you know, they're makers, right? They can see the fruits of their labor.
Yeah. I remember going into a manufacturer a couple of years ago, and I was so pleasantly surprised with how nice it was. Mm-hmm. They even had a wonderful, like delivery system. Mm. When the I think they made glasses. They manufactured glasses.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the company right
Clear
now.
Clear Vision?
Not Clear, I don't think.
Okay.
But it was an older one.
All right.
And they had this conveyor, like a sort of a ride. And when you wanted a certain, say, 100 pair of this type of glasses, this little train runs through the warehouse, goes in exactly where it's going, mm-hmm. pulls off 20 pairs of glasses, and then drives it back. And it was so cool to watch this. I mean, I found myself fascinated by it. And I wonder if people realize the innovation and the utilization of automation and technology to be able to get us to this point where manufacturing is no longer dirty.
You know, I think that's part of the issue. I know for myself in this role, I've had that experience. I've had that like eye-opening experience. I've gone to a couple companies and you see what that actually looks like. And as an educator, I was naive to how much a student can do or anybody can do in these companies, the amount of innovation that goes into it. So now as an educator, we're trying to lift our students and I don't know about it. Mm. So you could see where that what you just described, those real life experiences of like, wow, this is amazing. Those never get translated to our students or they don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of like even work with Ron is I get to touch that world so much more and now be an advocate for what our students can do. Because a lot of times in our robotics program, those are some of our top students. And they get sucked into the MIT world and from there you network into these big companies. Mm. Not realizing that there are a lot of big companies right here on Long Island, mm-hmm. or even some smaller companies right here on Long Island that you could do great work in. And until we start to really decrease that gap in understanding, we're going to be, you know, just going the same direction for a long time.
Right. We have so many problems in the country, regionally, nationally, locally, with the supply chain. And how many times have we heard it, you know, mm-hmm. since this whole COVID debacle? I mean, 5 million times have you heard the word supply chain or the word supply chain? So we have here on Long Island a fairly well-defined supply chain that's left over from the aerospace years and the current aerospace companies that are still doing plenty of business here. Tell us about the supply chain of Long Island.
Yeah, it's amazing what happened during COVID, right? All of a sudden, you couldn't get protective equipment, right? So all of a sudden, companies started making PPE. They started making protective equipment. We couldn't get ventilators. All of a sudden, you know, people locally are making ventilators. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get test kits. ChemBio over in Medford is working on a test kit for a PCR kit for COVID. You know, right now it takes for a PCR kit takes test takes what 2 or 3 days. They can do it in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of these companies. There's company Applied DNA is making vaccines. You know, mm-hmm. it's just amazing what's being done right here. You don't have to go order it from Asia. And now it's stuck on a boat for 6 months and you don't see it because you can't find a driver to, take the truck to move it over here.
Mm.
So a lot of that is moving back in here. Matter of fact, Biden put out the big chips program. Again, semiconductors. You've got Ford making, electronic vehicles and they ship it without the chips, right? Yeah. Because they can't get the chips.
Yeah, we just went into a car dealership. I'll give you guys a quick story. We just went into a car dealership to buy a hybrid. We were going to buy a hybrid car. And the salesman told us, don't even bother. It's a 6 to 9 month wait.
Wow.
They require more chips. Obviously, it's an electric vehicle, so they require more chips. These chips are in tremendous demand. And I was so pleased to see this whole chip thing from the Biden administration because, honestly, the fact that we didn't have a chip maker in the United States, that's freaky.
Yeah,
how could such a thing that even happen?
The trouble is we do have chip makers. We have them right here in Long Island. The trouble is they're not at the scale that you see in Asia. So we just got to scale up,
you know,
and same thing with solar panels and various other components that we're buying from overseas. We need to start making them right here.
Just from your knowledge, Ron, just from what you see and what you hear, mm-hmm. just because you're in this business,
yep.
Are the bottlenecks that we heard about in supply chain, are they still there? Are there still cargo ships sitting out in the Pacific somewhere? Has it improved?
The cargo ship issue has improved a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at one point they said there was over 100 ships out off of Los Angeles waiting to get in port. Mm-hmm. It's helped, but they've also kind of spread it, right? So mm-hmm. now they've kind of spread it to other ports up and down the West Coast, around here to the East Coast. So it's still a problem.
Okay, and so we still have a shortage of workers there.
Right. Yeah, right? we have problems on the docks, you know, unloading these things. We have problems with truckers who can't get enough people to drive trucks to move it around. Mm. You know, we're lucky we didn't have that rail strike, because that would have really put a kink in the supply
chain.
That
sounded like it was going to be crippling.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, interesting tidbit there. They said a freight train is equivalent to 240 trucks. Mm. You know, so it's like that would have really, really been a big problem for the supply chain. And a lot of things, you know, fertilizer, fuels, you know, various products.
Yeah, so. Everybody got in on that negotiation and made sure that it happened, because absolutely. We could not afford that.
That would have been a disaster. That would have really been.
And what about the war? Is that still causing interruptions in the supply chain?
You know, the war is impacting the oil, right? You know, because we have issues with you know, oil from overseas, but you know, for the most part. It's a lot better than it was in the 70s. You know, back in the oil embargo days, it's completely different. So still an issue that impacted, you know, the rise in the fuel costs. But fortunately, now we're seeing that coming back down again.
All right. Very good. So I would say we set it up pretty well, guys. You know, everybody knows where we are with this. And now we should start talking about how we're going to solve the problem. So one of these problems is these grassroots organizations that one of these solutions, I should say, is a grassroots organization comes along and encourages the manufacturers to collaborate with each other and form this manufacturing day. What was the genesis of that?
Well, you know, you got to the point where, matter of fact, I don't know if you were listening in at that point, Jamal, but this morning, Robert Kuffner, who's the president of Designatronics, was saying, you know what, we're just fighting over the same small group of machinists. You know, they work for me, and then you pay another buck, and they go work for you, and now I pay them, and they come back with me. So, you know, instead of fighting over the same small pool, and the other problem is, you know, a lot of guys like me, gray hairs are retiring, so... Mm-hmm. You're losing that pool of talent. So we really have to develop that. And unfortunately, for many years, Jamal certainly could talk to this, is, you know, we kind of short shifted the types of skills that people have with their hands. You know, mm-hmm. we got rid of the machine shops. We got rid of the woodworking shops. Mm-hmm. I mean, fortunately, I guess there's still a few auto shops around, but that's about it. So
how did the Longwood get into this?
So, very interesting. Longwood, a couple years ago, we embarked on this idea of developing an academy model. It was under the Obama administration. The academy model has been around forever, but it really exploded. So, a couple of us went to Tennessee. We investigated, and it was that. It was, how can you do education with more hands-on experiences? Mm-hmm. And the push isn't necessarily to not promote college. But just to say, while in high school, how can students experience what this journey looks like? And we took a lot from that, but then it wasn't us. It wasn't what Longwood was. We were, by a lot of the metrics, we were already beyond that. So we came back and we met as a team, and we looked at not only how we can advance our students in preparation for college without taking remedial classes and having a better understanding of how to be successful, but also to the point of, well, if we have a 89, 92, 97% graduation rate, what are our students doing after? And what we saw is we had a plethora of students going into college, especially at Suffolk Community College. But then we also saw a gap with students that were just kind of in limbo. And we said, in building this program, how can we increase that? How can we get those students out of limbo in somewhere where they could be successful? And through research and just through development, we looked at the Department of Labor and we looked at other groups going on. And eventually, we worked with some of our business partners. And in that process, me and Ron got connected. And it really was a lot of synergy to say, we're looking at him and what he's doing in manufacturing and getting all these companies together. And what we're doing with trying to really understand our student and provide some better direction and some experiences that are real toward the real world. And it seemed like a perfect fit. And we've been working ever since that.
So, I mean, I think it's great. And a shout out to all the career guidance people in schools today, because I remember when I was a kid, my guidance counselor helped me choose a college, not even a career path. It was never discussed. Mm-hmm. So things have changed in the 400 years since I was in school. Anyway, you're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We're here for you every week with a show about the job market or the workplace. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. That's scottp118@gmail.com. Happy to have you or your idea on the show. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn. I post every radio program we do on the workplace on my LinkedIn account. So after it airs, of course, here at the station. So connect with me on LinkedIn. We got another segment coming up, folks. Stay with us for the news break.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We're here for you every week at 2 p.m. on Saturdays and 9 p.m. on Wednesdays to talk about your career, the job market, everything that's happened in the economy. And this is the only show that I know of in the world that talks about that subject. So I just want to do a little bit of business before we start. Our favorite sponsor, BizShout, is with us every week. They promote people, business, and brands. Regular listeners know we support a social media platform here on Jobline. The only one we do support is BizShout. In a digital world where you have 3 seconds to stand out, BizShout sets a new marketing standard to promote content, creative resumes, and social ads. Visit their platform at BizShout.com to join their alert list for the new 2.0 experience that's coming. We've had a gentleman by the name of Charlie Lee coming on our show at least once a year to talk about this fabulous website that he's building. Guys, take a look. BizShout with two Z's. .com. It's somewhere between LinkedIn and Facebook. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, check it out.
And the reason I wanted to read that commercial was because you must have a communication issue that's going on here, because you need to get the word out about this manufacturing. And I'm sure not everybody, you know, can come to Manufacturing Day. Are you using social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, from we got two communities we need to reach, right? We need to reach the educators and the students. And we need to reach their manufacturers. So the manufacturers, the best connection I have found is LinkedIn, number one, Instagram, number two, and Facebook is kind of downstream. I think for, you know, for the students, it's TikTok, right? Or it's whatever the latest.
Absolutely. TikTok and Instagram are where students' eyes are at.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice because we've had conversations even about how we can do better in marketing in those areas, and not by, you know, Ron and I, because, you know, we're out of our prime in that area, but how do we get students to start to make those for us? How do we get students that I want to be a producer, or I want to be an influencer, or I want to be on these platforms? And now you're the one who's helping to tell the story. You got to get students where their eyes are. So that's part of the goal for this.
All right. So I assume you have groups. You're forming groups on LinkedIn and various platforms that are, for example, a manufacturing group.
Yeah. So we do have groups. However, it seems, and I'm not a social media expert, but it seems that if you just post the meetings that we're having, the activities that we're having, people react to it. You know, they say, matter of fact, you know, today I posted a video of the two interns from West Islip on LinkedIn, and right away I had, you know, 50 people that commented on, oh, that's great stuff that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing too, beyond social media, is just word of mouth. And like you were saying earlier, is, you know, how do you find those influencers? You know, for these two students that were interns at Designotronics, they're telling their friends, you know? So all of a sudden, all the kids that they know on the robotics team, all the kids that they know in their math classes and their STEM classes and other activities that they do outside of school, you know, they're spreading that word.
You know, I remember, you guys remember being in high school? I do. My high school days, for some reason, I remember pretty well.
I feel like I never left.
Right.
You haven't, right?
In my case, I wish I could say that. But what I remember about high school was that there were popular kids. And you could probably say from my graduating class of 200 that there were 10 kids that were the most popular. Everybody knew them from various groups, religions, walks of life, whatever. But these 10 kids, I'm Bobby Friedman and Michael Klein.
I still remember the names.
Okay. And these were the cool kids, but they were the smart kids too. So cool and smart. And I would take them and put them in a room, you know, and say, guys, you got to help us get the word out. And maybe there's something that you can do like that.
You know, I don't know if, I think schools, education's changed. When we were there, I think that was the case. I think social media's changed a lot of how the popular kids and cool kids are perceived, as well as subgroups. I think now, especially at the school that, at Longwood, we have tons of subgroups that they have their own leaders in that. And I think that the big thing is, a lot of times, exactly what we said, the school jock, the valedictorians, they have a direction that they're going that a lot of students probably don't feel even connected to. Whereas now I think that we have students that have voices that are a lot similar to the majority. And the biggest thing is, can we, just like Ron was saying that happened today, can we take those voices and create systems for them to be heard? That it's not these episodic things where this person does this and then they disappear. We really have to, you know, work systematically and capture those experiences. Capture that student and say, how can we promote this so that other students hear about it?
So, Jamal, let me ask, this is for you. So, I remember my my son got into chess because he was part of a chess club in high school. What about a manufacturing club?
It's a great idea.
Not a bad idea, yeah.
And, you know, for the amount you're paying me, this is about the best idea I'm going to give you. But I just think that it would be cool if they could be representative and go to various manufacturers. So maybe there's not a large number, but if they're the popular kid or the kid with the big mouth or the kid with the big following on Instagram, maybe they can do more good for you than you realize.
I think that's a great idea, with also understanding manufacturing should be in every club. Like, I think one of the big things is to, instead of saying like this group of kids, we should tell everybody, because whether you're a valedictorian or you're the kid that just gets through or you're the kid that may not get through, there's a job for you. There's a place for you, a career, not even a job. So that kind of language, I think one of the biggest things is for high schools, as we promote this message, that we're being strategic and putting in our curriculum across the board, so that it's clear for everybody. And Ron's right. Part of it's just educating our counselors and our teachers and our parents of what this looks like. Because a lot of us, including myself, are very naive to it until we're exposed.
All right, we better get to the event before we run out of time. So what I'd like you to do is tell me from the moment the kids walk in, what do they see?
Okay, so if
let's give the date again. I'm sorry. Give me the date and all the info.
And location.
And location, yeah. So it's October the 7th. It's going to be from 2 to 6 p.m. And you may ask, why 2 to 6 p.m.? The conversation we had this morning with the educators, we can't get buses, right? So now it's on the parents, the teachers. You know, this is after school, after work. We're also looking for job seekers as well. But it's from 2 to 6 at the Cradle of Aviation. Why the Cradle of Aviation? I mean, if you haven't been there, you got to go, man. It's a cool place, right? Full scale. You know, you walk into the lobby, full scale, F-111 there hanging from the ceiling. You got, jetpacks hanging from the ceiling. It's a really cool place. Plus, there's a lot of history and there's a lot of games. There's a lot of interactive things for students and kids. So a great place to have it. So here's the run of the show. You walk in at 2 o'clock, right? And there's going to be food trucks, by the way, outside, you know, with ice cream and all kinds of other stuff.
Good move.
Yep. And so you grab your burger, your ice cream, and you come on in. So the first thing you're going to see is the lobby is going to be set up with trade show booths of the manufacturers. So you're going to see companies like BAE, which is a big company over in Greenlawn, BH Aircraft right here around the corner from the airport, Curtis Wright. They make these giant valves that go into ships, Navy ships, mm-hmm. Exergy, Contract Pharmacol. We talked a little bit about, the change has kind of gone from aerospace to now biopharma nutraceuticals taking over. Contract Pharmacol, going back to the career thing, they have 1,500 employees. So you can zigzag to whatever you want to do there. Sorella Fine Foods, I just talked to the folks over at Water Lilies Foods today. They took over the old Enterman's building in Bayshore. Mm-hmm. They want to hire 450 people over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely jobs out there. Mm-hmm. Orlicon Metco, who make flame spray equipment for extending the lives of jet engine turbines. So a lot of cool stuff you're going to see. You're going to meet, face-to-face, person-to-person, you're going to meet the hiring managers at the Cradle, at the trade show booths. So 2 to 3, we're going to have open trade show. From 4 to 5, we're going to go up in a planetarium. We're going to have presentations. So each manufacturer is going to give a little video, say, here's the parts we make. Look, it's on the F-111 or it's on, the F-35 jet, or it's, we're making parts for cell phones. If you think about the kids, they don't realize, all this stuff's got to get made somewhere, mm-hmm. yeah. right? And so, we're reaching them there. So from 3 to 5 is the presentations of each manufacturer. They're going to talk about their company, their products. They're going to talk about career opportunities. We had a conversation today about machinists. If you want to be a machinist, they're paying $5,000 to $10,000 sign-on bonus.
Wow.
Plus, it's easily make 6 figures plus as a machinist. Mm. So then from 5 to 6, we're going to go back into the trade show. And again, parents, teachers, students can talk to manufacturers, say, hey, what's this all about? And really, this event's meant to be a kickoff. So we want to have all these manufacturers invite the students, parents, teachers back to their facilities so they have a chance to see, on the ground, what this thing is really all about, what manufacturing is all about.
Mm, okay. So that sounds like a fabulous day. Now, what do we hope to achieve? How many numbers are we looking for? How many people do we know? Any idea how many people will be there?
Yeah. So we can fit 250 people in the planetarium. Mm-hmm. So I'm shooting for 250. Right. However, I'd love to get way beyond that. Because we're also going to be Facebook Live, so it's going to be broadcast. We're going to be recording the presentations, so that way, teachers can bring that back to the classroom. And now it's one teacher at the event, but it's times hundreds of students that they see every day. So that's really the effort, the goal.
Now, it seems to me, again, I was a TV guy, for 24 years. So this should be televised. That, I'm by a local station like News 12 or uh-huh. WLNY or, yep. Have you tried that route? Because I think if you could point everybody or even just a regular transmission to a website, mm-hmm. Where any person can watch it, I think the more people that see it, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that. I honestly don't have good contacts at News 12, so mm. if you can help me out with that, it'd be awesome. But we're also going to be posting it on, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. So it's it lives on the internet, right? And it's always there. As you can go back to YouTube. I'll get to YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things with that is I think posting on TV, like live and all that, that's great. But it's nothing like being there. Yeah. Right. I travel a lot, and I tell my students this all the time. I could teach you all about the Great Wall of China, and I could tell you how long it is. It's a big difference when you're there. And I know for me, as much as I could see videos of Long Island manufacturing, I could read articles. When you go and you really get to experience it, it's a big difference. So I know for us, we're encouraging a lot of our students to go with their families, and it's putting the groundwork right now. It's not waiting to make like one broad announcement at the last minute. It's saying, let's have conversations about this and what it could look like. And now let's build upon it. And really, like you said, Ron talks about it, and you're like, this should be televised. There's mm-hmm. excitement mm-hmm. when we could build upon it some. And then once they experience it, then it's like, oh, wow, I could take a direction this way. I could have a career in here. So exciting stuff.
I would draw a parallel to Maverick. You got high school kids. Not one of them didn't see Maverick. Not one of them.
No, that's the point.
And those planes are, or pieces of those planes are built here on Long Island.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's, you know? Right. Yeah, so, the F-14 was so built right here.
So what you need is a PR guy. That's what you need.
Yeah,
one person at the head of the table that's going to reach out to all the television stations. You know, radio stations like LI News Radio, we send out a remote crew. We, if there's a really cool event or something, the big boss will say, "Hey, let's get a crew out there," and they'll have a guy walking around the whole show and broadcast it live. I'm not trying to get you to use our station, but I'm just saying a lot of stations would do that because this is a really cool event.
Yep,
you know, when it has kids, it has parents, it has teachers, it has business. All rolled up into the same, you know, hot dog. I really think it's something that should be really highly publicized. I'm not seeing enough, and I want to see more.
I agree.
Very nice. Yeah.
So is there an organization though that could do that that has the wherewithal to be in charge of the PR?
Yeah, so we have the backing of the Hot Dog Industrial Association. I'm actually the co-chair of the manufacturing committee at HIA.
Mm-hmm.
Also part of ADAPT. Yes, there's a PR group at HIA I need to connect with and reach out to.
Yeah. Definitely, because they can cover more ground for you. If News 12 did a story on this and so on, and you really got to go after Ken Grimble, unless he's retired. Do you know who Ken Grimble is?
I've heard the name, but
News 12, yeah. Long Island.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Funny guy, great guy, and he handles all of these stories about students.
Okay.
So he's one you write directly to, Ron. You pick up the phone and call him.
Okay.
You know, and tell him I sent you.
All right.
Because he loves stories like this.
You got it.
You know, so again, I think a bigger PR movement might be in order.
Yeah, I did talk to James Medore at Newsday, so he's on board.
Are they doing something?
Yeah, he's going to be there, so that's good.
All right, excellent.
But yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, there's so many outlets, and unfortunately, all of us that are putting this event together are all volunteers, right? Mm-hmm. So we got a day job, and we only have a certain amount of time to be able to do these things. But yeah, those are great ideas.
Now, where is the website? Is there a central website people can go to that are listening to the show tonight and want all the data, all the facts, all the times and locations and all that? Where can people go?
Yeah, so they can go to the National Association of Manufacturing, MFG Day. That's MF, you know, Mike Foxtrot Golf Day, .com, and they can, you know, go to that to see what's happening nationally. As far as a website for the event, they can go to igniteli.org. The folks over there have a website up for the event as well.
Okay, so igniteli.org.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And we're talking about people that just tuned in. That missed a lot of what we had said earlier.
Okay.
So we wanted to be able to go somewhere and get all the details.
Good idea.
Okay.
Yep.
You did this. Did you do this last year? We did this last year, right?
So, well, in 2019,
COVID. Yeah.
I took a busload of students from Hop Hog High School, and we went to four different manufacturers in the Hop Hog Industrial Park. Same thing. You know, they were just like, "Wow, what's going on here? You know, this is good stuff." We got shut down in COVID, right? Mm-hmm. So the last 2 years we've done it virtually, which is not just like you were just saying, Jamal. It's not the same as being there in person.
Right.
So we're back to in person again. So again, this is Manufacturing Day at the Cradle is going to be a kickoff, and then we're asking manufacturers, hey, come back on October 30th and come take a look at what we're doing here. We're going to have an open house and bring you in and talk to you and your parents about great career opportunities here.
Give the location, the date, and time one more time.
Yeah, so it's going to be October the 7th, 2 to 6 p.m. at the Cradle of Aviation, which is right next to the Nassau Coliseum behind Nassau County Community College, Charles Lindbergh Boulevard in Garden City. And so we'd love to have you. Yeah, come on out.
Okay, so that's all fabulous stuff. And again, Ignite LI, if people are not writing it down at the moment, just listening in their cars, they can go to Ignite LI, get all the data.
You're right.
Okay. Yep. So the last thing to talk about, as far as I'm concerned, is the attitude of the community. Mm. Are you getting the support in the community that you would like to be getting? Are parents involved enough? Are schools involved enough? Are manufacturers involved enough? We have 3,000 on Long Island. How many of them are participating?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the environment is correct right now because on the manufacturing side, they don't have enough people. They have to do something, mm-hmm. right? On the education side, Jamal can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm seeing a sea change. I'm seeing that a lot more school boards and schools are focusing on work, you know, as opposed to just, like you were saying, send them to college. Mm-hmm. So I have seen a change in that, and that's really gratifying to see that because, you know, we've been kind of swimming against the tide prior to that. You know, you still have a little bit of hesitancy with some of the manufacturers because they're going to say, well, you know, this guy over there, you know, stole my machinist, and so I'm not so crazy about that. But we're overcoming that. Mm. You know, people, they have to overcome it because, you know, we've got Designtronics, for instance, had to buy a company in Oshkosh because they didn't have enough machinists here on Long Island. We've got a company in Westbury that they're missing 12 machinists. So they have orders, you know, they have opportunities to sell things, but they don't have the people to make them.
And production supervisors are in gigantic demand as well. Can't find yeah. them. You know, yeah. when companies ask us, I'm in a staffing business. When companies ask us for production, I'm saying, own anything but that.
Right.
You know, and don't ask me for a CNC machinist or an operator. Exactly. Yeah. So very, very tough. I can't thank you guys enough for being here. This was a great show, very informative, but also very helpful to the community and to Long Islanders and Long Island students. From the academic standpoint, Jamal, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And you, Ron, you obviously a spokesman for this. You are a Long Island's person for this.
Thank you.
If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can reach me at scottp118@gmail.com. scottp118@gmail.com. Send me your idea. Happy to have you on the show. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn so you'll be able to see, not see, but hear every Jobline broadcast I post on my LinkedIn account every week after it airs here in the studio. So connect with me, Scott Possessor, PASSESER. Go Yankees, go Aaron Judge, go Mets. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.